Ephesians chapter number 2. I want to look primarily at one verse tonight, but we can't just focus on one verse. We'll have to look at a couple of preceding verses, but I want us to look primarily at verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 10 says, "For," that's the reason we've got to look back up at the few previous verses, but primarily tonight, let's just focus on verse number 10 and see if we can get through it. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I mentioned to you that we're going to have to look at a couple of verses prior to verse number 10 just to kind of get the context and to make sure there is no miscommunication on the message that we're going to preach. But when we look at verse number 10, there is one word that sticks out in my mind as very, very important. Now, they're all important. But if you're looking at what is the phrase here, what is the term, what is the word that just jumps off the page at you is kind of unique? And that word is workmanship. The Bible calls us His workmanship, calls us God's workmanship. I don't know about you, but we live in a day and age where in the technological age, as people develop and evolve, so to speak, in the computer age, and you don't find near as many people that earn a living with their hands or with a trade or by a specific skill set. But there is still some of that degree, or to a degree. But in certainly workmanship is not limited to just that particular trade or that particular craft approach. But think with me for just a moment. If you take a master carpenter, I've got an uncle that, man, is he is an absolute whiz when it comes to carpentry. I mean, he is wonderful. Slow as Christmas. You don't want to get into a rush project with him. Don't call him. Call somebody else. He is slow. He is meticulous, but he is a perfectionist. And when he builds something, when they say, well, when somebody in our family says, "Well, who you got building your deck?" "Well, Wayne's going to build it." "Oh, well, if Wayne builds the deck, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be a really good They've seen his workmanship. And there's something about him that when it comes to carpentry and when it comes to woodworking, when it comes to building something, he does not want to have his name associated with anything. Not helping you on a project, not building a doghouse, not doing anything, no matter how immaterial it seems. He doesn't want his name associated with a project that doesn't show and scream good workmanship. Anybody know somebody like that? They're just meticulous. Well, you want those people working on your projects, although your time schedule might not allow you to be able to accommodate that. But those folks, they take pride in their work. They're known by their workmanship. Now, that can be the same thing when it comes to putting reports together, or when it comes to putting letters together, or when it comes to putting together documents or presentations. You can watch and you think to yourself, my, they are spending an incredible amount of time putting this performance together, or putting this presentation together, or writing this letter. And you realize that when you see the final product, that's somebody that takes pride in their workmanship. They want what their product is. They want what their the fruits of their labor, and they want the results of their effort to say a job well done, a job that was well thought out, a job that doesn't cut corners. Well, might I suggest to you that the same pictures that I'm giving to you regarding carpentry or regarding presentations or performances or what have you, when we say that we want our workmanship to be something that kind of stands out, we want our workmanship to be something that we can take pride in, we want our workmanship to be something that when others see it, they say, wow, you cared. It's not that we want them to brag on us, and it's not that we want them necessarily to pat us on the back or give us the applause. It's when they see our work, we want them to know that we cared. We want them to know that it was important to us. We want them to know that we tried and we gave our best effort. That's taking pride in our workmanship. Well, Paul says that we are the workmanship. We, Christians, we are the workmanship of God. If we think about that for just a moment, Just as my uncle would like to know that his name is never associated with a carpentry project that looks second rate or less than first class. Or when we think of people in our workplace, or maybe even us ourselves, that we don't want others to view our work and think, boy, they just rushed through that and they really didn't give any effort to that. They were haphazard in what they did. If we compare that and if we say that that's what the pride that we take in our workmanship, and that's what's pleasing to us and to others, and that's something that is to be admired, just think about the pride. Just think about the honor and the sincerity that God takes in His workmanship. And so if we are the reflection of His workmanship, just think of how important that is. Now, we're going to look back at verse number 8 and verse number 9 just to kind of set the record straight and clear up a few things. But tonight I want us to look primarily at that word, workmanship, and let's see, what does it mean for us to be God's workmanship? Let's pray together as we get started outlining this verse together. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight. Lord, thank You for Your goodness to us and for Your blessings. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, encourage us, help us, Lord, to be the people that You've called us to be. God, I pray that You would help us to reflect the image of Your dear Son to a lost and dying world, that they might be drawn to You as well. Have Your will and way in everything that is accomplished tonight, and we'll do our very best to give You the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think that any of us would disagree if I were to tell you that we could categorize or characterize grace as somewhat of a mystery. Trying to figure out and wrap our heads around all that grace does in the life of a believer, I don't know that we could, on this side of eternity, understand it in its totality. Certainly, God's Word gives us some insight there, and we can find and learn more about who God is and what God has done for us and how God works in us and through us. And the only way that He does that is because of His grace. Because of His grace and by His grace. But when we think of all that we have, just in looking at one chapter and a half, so to speak, of the book of Ephesians, Paul has kind of left us understanding a little bit of the significance of grace in the life of a believer. Now, as I mentioned, we would say that it's somewhat of a mystery. It's somewhat hidden to a degree, in that I don't think our minds can, it's not that God doesn't want to reveal that to us, I don't know that our minds, our carnal minds, I don't know that we can understand that in totality. But consider a couple of things. We don't have to read all of these verses, but Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 4, the Bible tells us that it was because of grace that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Verse number 3 of chapter number 1, that it was because of grace and through grace that all spiritual blessings flowed, and that grace has determined, verse number 5 of chapter number 1, that we would be like Jesus, and that one day we would be with Jesus. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, grace is what is allows us to be accepted in Jesus Christ. Grace proved to us that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us from our sins. Chapter number 2 and verse number 4, just a few verses prior to our text tonight, God talks about grace is what demonstrates the love of God towards us. Grace gives us life. Grace secures our future, verse number 6, verse number 7. But then verse number 8 and verse number 9, as I said, we're going to have to look back up at those verses. Let's look there at what grace does for us. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think we could summarize it this way. Everything that we possess as believers is ours through and by the grace of God. Everything that we possess as believers is ours through and by the grace of God. Stated differently, we have earned nothing. We deserve nothing that we have received. We purchased nothing that we have received. Everything comes from the good hand of a loving God through His grace to us. But then Paul says in verse number 3, he uses three words. Three words, all of them starting with the letter W. And I want us to look at those three words tonight and see, what does it mean? How can we understand God's workmanship? That's the first word. That's the first W word. Paul says we are God's workmanship. So what is it that Paul is saying? Well, Paul says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now that word workmanship, it means that we, that which is made, a work or a work of art. It comes from, and if you look at its origin, it comes from and is translated to that thought of a masterpiece. Somebody, there's something that has taken and consumed much time, much effort, and it has been and it is the result of meticulous, intentional work. That is what it takes to build this masterpiece, and that is what goes into presenting this workmanship. Now, when we say that we are His workmanship, quite literally what Paul is saying is, we as believers, we as the benefactors of grace, now I don't want to puff us up tonight, but we as Christians in Christ Jesus are the masterpiece of God. Now, might I say, I don't want to puff us up. I don't want us to leave with the wrong impression or the wrong idea. That's not to say that we go out thinking higher of ourselves or patting ourselves on the back or telling the world, hey, look at me, I'm something special. No. I think this workmanship recognizes that were it not for the intentional, deliberate work of its master, that were it not for the intentional, deliberate touch of God working, that artist, so to speak, working in every intricate detail of our lives, we would be nothing. But because of the work that God does in us and the work that God does through us, by grace, we are something that God can be pleased with. We are to reflect His work in our life. Have you ever got to working on a project and you get to, you're treating a symptom? I can give you an example. Not too many months ago, I had a problem where my truck was leaking coolant or water, and I knew that I needed to get it, or coolant, I guess. I needed to get it fixed. And so with YouTube and tools, you can fix anything, right? And so I began to fix it. I was going to fix it. Looked it up. I mean, there's one of 13 projects that or causes could be at fault here. So you start with the cheapest and work your way up. And so I tried this and tried that, and it didn't work. But my wife would say, "You get it fixed?" Well, no, but I'm after looking at another video on YouTube, I think I can get this. And so I would fix it, and I decided that I was going to take and replace. Never done anything like this. I'm not a mechanic at all. But I was going to replace the water pump. I'd already saw how to do it on YouTube. It was no problem. And so I order the water pump. I go pick it up. And I pull the water pump off. I put the new water pump on. And I told my wife, this has to be it. I'd already replaced the radiator. I'd already replaced this hose and that hose. And I'd already got consult from everybody that I could get consult from. And I thought it was going to be good. Put coolant in the radiator, no leaks. Yeah, I should have made a video myself, right? I cranked that engine up, and it lasts, I would say, a good 30 seconds. And I am swimming in coolant. I'm worried that the neighbors are going to call on me. Some hose was off. I have no idea what I had done. The problem was so much worse than what it was when I began the problem. My wife says, are you going to try anything else? I said, yeah. Going to call a wrecker. That's what I'm going to try next. You know what? I was extremely discouraged because despite my best efforts and despite my willingness to invest in the tools and the proper parts, to not cutting any corners on that, I gave it honestly. I worked late hours into the night, several nights, determined that I was going to do that. And the fruit of my labor was nothing to show for it. The fruit of my labor is my truck that I've repaired 3 or 4 times is now on the back of a tow truck headed to somebody else to fix what I repaired. That was extremely discouraging. Now, I don't want to make light of Paul's context, and so I certainly trust that you understand. I'm just simply using that as an illustration. But think for a moment when we are Christians, the workmanship of God, and His desire is to make us look more like Him and His darling Son. And I wonder how many times, despite the work and the labor and the love and the grace and the effort that He's extended towards me, I wonder how many times at the end of the day I leave Him nothing to show for His work because I fell over and over and over again. Now that's not to say He gives up. That's not to say He walks away. That's not to say anything other than my purpose as a Christian is to reflect the work that God has done on my life and the work that God has done in my life. And many times, if I'm not careful and yielding to His Spirit, allowing Him to have His will in my life, I don't reflect His workmanship. Paul says, for we are His workmanship. That word for piggybacks off of verse number 8 and verse number 9. And that is that we are saved by grace. There is absolutely nothing that we could do of ourselves to earn it. There's nothing that we could do to ourselves to warrant it. There's nothing that we could have done ourselves to purchase it or to secure it. It is solely 100% the work of God. And my responsibility is to reflect. My responsibility is to mirror the image of God and the work that He has done in my life. If you want to challenge spiritually, don't look at what others around you do and compare yourself to them. It's so easy to do. Don't look at the decisions that your peers make and the lives that your peers lead and allow that to be what is your compass, or allow that to be the comparatives with which you base your decision. No. Look in the mirror of God's Word and ask yourself, how am I lining up with what God would have me to be? What reflection is there? What demonstration is there? What proof is there that God is doing a work in me? You go to Birmingham, Alabama, you visit some of my family, and you can tell the work of my uncle and where he's been. Because when he does a project, he really, really does a fine job. You can see his workmanship. I would like for it to be said of me that when I'm in the workplace, when I'm in the community, when I'm in the store, when I'm at the ball field, wherever I'm at, I would like for it to be said, that's a child of God because you can see His work in that man's life. That's His workmanship. It's Him working on us. It's Him changing us. It's Him causing us to be a reflection of what He wants us to be. Paul said it this way. He says we are His workmanship. Look with me, if you would, at verse number... 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. I think what Paul is teaching and what Paul is sharing with Christians is that our life, because of God's grace and because of God's workmanship, our life is God's love letter, if you would, to a lost and dying world. And He's written His love in us. And He has written His love on us. And through us, He can tell and demonstrate to this world's lost sinners just what His love and His grace can do in the life of someone that's yielded to Him. We can show the world what a difference Christ can make. You say, well, how is that? Again, it's not to puff us up. It's not to make us brag on ourselves. But if you have been transformed by the grace of God, and that work is taking place in your life, God doesn't leave you the same. In fact, the Bible tells us that old things passed away, behold, all things become new. The Bible gives us the indication that Jesus Christ, when He takes over the life and when He comes in, that there is that radical transformation, and I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that that change is reflected as God's workmanship. And those that knew you prior to your salvation, and those that knew you as the old man, they will recognize your transformation, but they'll realize it's nothing you did. They'll realize it's not something you were capable of. It will be the demonstration of God's workmanship that's changed your life. And what a powerful testimony, and what a tribute to the power of God and His life-changing grace that takes place in our life. There's another W word. Look with me, chapter 2, verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. First, He talks about this workmanship. And now He talks about good works. Now, I think that one of the reasons Paul transitioned from verse number 8 and verse number 9, which makes it very clear, works cannot save. Now he's transitioning here and he says, no, 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 your works can't save. God's work in you will bring about good works. You see, despite what is easy believism and despite what is our society's desire to kind of transform God's word and to teach something that is not true, despite all of those things, God's word's pretty clear. Works can never provide salvation. Works can never produce salvation. If you are without Jesus Christ and you do the most good works on your street, you are just as lost as the person who does no good works. It's that simple. Works can never save. They do not produce salvation. They are, however, a result of salvation. They're a product of salvation. We can't mix those two things up. We're not working to get saved. Our works are because we are saved. And it should be clear that though we are not saved by our works, there is an expectation that our works are different than the old man, and that our works are changed, and that the work that we involve our hands with, that those are good works. Now, I didn't say it. You didn't say it. God's Word says it. We are called to live out, to carry out good works. I think it's easy sometimes for us to get discouraged. You do something for somebody, and they don't appreciate it. It's frustrating. You do something good for somebody and really you just want to be a help and you just want to be an encouragement and it gets ignored. You do something good for somebody, you just want to be a help, you just want to be a blessing, and they criticize it. You do something good for somebody, you just want to be a help and you just want to be a blessing, and it's not good enough. You do something good for somebody and you just want to be an encouragement, you just want to be a blessing, you just want to be a help, and they do everything that they can to become a hindrance and a distraction. And maybe it's not intentional, maybe it is intentional, who knows? But you can become so discouraged trying to carry out good works if you're not careful. But I think it's important that we remember as Christians that good works is not what we do, or the reason that we are involved in good works is not for others around us. The reason that we're involved in good works is because of God, who has through grace done a work in us. That's Him working. And regardless of how discouraged we would be in our own strength, And regardless of how disappointed and unappreciated we would be in our own mind, we're doing this because we're His workmanship. Not because we want others to see our workmanship, but because we want them to see God's working in our life. It can be hard sometimes to be a help and encouragement to others. Anytime people are involved in things, people have a tendency of pushing buttons, rubbing people the wrong way, frustrating them, saying things that shouldn't be said. People have a way, let's just face it, people can mess things up pretty, they have this unique ability to get in the way of doing things. But we have to remember that doing good works is not for our salvation. Doing good works, being involved in the work of the church, being involved in being a help and an encouragement to those around us, it's not because we want them to see our works, it's we want them to see God's work in our life, and that's the catalyst, that's the fuel, that's the motivation for the good works. There's another W word that Paul uses, verse number 10. Verse number 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That third word is walk. When we look at what Paul is saying about this workmanship, now I must admit, and I'll confess to you, I have tried over the past couple of weeks to adopt not because I'm an environmentally crazy guy, but I've tried to go more paperless and more to an electronic version of my notes and those kind of things. And so the past few weeks, you've probably seen me carrying this tablet around. Well, let me suggest to you something. If you don't charge your tablet and the screen turns black and you lose your notes, these things are useless. It is just a paperweight. My screen just went black, and so I'm going to have to go off of memory. So if I say something wrong, forgive me. I probably wrote it down right. I just don't have it with me. But so much for the paperless approach. I'll have my notes next Sunday. Paul uses this word, I tell you. My wife warned me of that. Paul uses this word that we should walk in them. Now, what is he talking about? Walk in them. The good works. That we should walk in good works. That's what we should be involved in. Now, we use that word when we looked at the second point of works, good works. We expounded on that. But here's the responsibility for the Christian. The responsibility of the Christian is that God has given to us this ordination, as Paul says, that we are to walk in those good works. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, here's the easiest explanation that I could muster up. Day by day, step by step, we're to be involved in doing good works. You know, I tell people a lot of times there's things we fail, we make mistakes, we make errors, we have issues, we run into problems, we let our guard down. But I am responsible for every single word that comes from my mouth. Every one of them. I work with some people who have asked me routinely. They will ask me when the lottery in this area or whatever the big one is, whenever it gets up real high, they'll ask you, you want to go in with us? I say, no, I don't. And they say, well, if we win, I bet you want us to split it with you. And I tell them, if you're feeling generous, you know, that's no. I tell them, well, I don't think if you win, I don't think you're going to show up here tomorrow and work, but that's your prerogative, however you want to do that. But one of them asked me, you think gambling is wrong? Does the Bible say you can't gamble? And here's the answer that I give to them. Instead of going to try to pull together the principles that deal with work and the principles that deal with gambling and the principles that I believe clearly teach against that, here's what I tell them. I am responsible for every dollar the Lord gives me. And I'm not going to answer for one of them in that manner. Now, that's not to say that I've been the wisest steward of everything that the Lord's ever entrusted me with. That's not it at all. But my responsibility is, I'm responsible, and I'm not trying to step on toes, or hurt feelings, or offend anybody. That's not it at all. Here's my answer. I'm responsible for every dollar that the Lord entrusts me with and how I use it. But I'm also responsible for every word that comes from my mouth. And I'm responsible for every step that I take, and I'm responsible for every deed that I do. I'm going to give an account for that. I'm responsible for that. And my life, because of His workmanship, should be one that looks for opportunity to do good works. I'm not looking for works to secure my salvation. I recognize if I were depending on that, I would be as lost as a ball in high weeds. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for an opportunity. I'm looking for the chance to show God's work in my life. And how do I do that? Well, number one, I have to be His workmanship. And apart from a relationship in Jesus Christ, that's impossible. Number two, I have to be involved in good works. And number three, I have to make that a priority in my life, walking day by day, step by step, moment by moment, every single day. Don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but there'll be opportunity for me to demonstrate God's workmanship. I'm not sure what's on the agenda for Tuesday. I know a couple of things. But I don't know who all I'm going to come in contact with. I don't know who all I'll speak with on the telephone or every email exchange that I'll get. I'm not sure of that. But I am sure this. If I'm here, I'm going to have an opportunity to walk that day, demonstrating God's work in my life, through my life, because of His workmanship. What kind of a picture are we presenting? There is no artist that paints a masterpiece to hide it under his bed so no one can see it. There is no musician that performs the hit so that they can keep it secret. There is no architect that designs a masterpiece to roll it up and seal it in the closet. No, no. They do those things so that others might see their workmanship. And God did not save us and begin that work to confine us to the four walls of the local church. He began a work in us that He might, through us, by His grace as His workmanship, that He might, through us, show a lost and dying world how much He cares for them and how He can transform them if they will but come to Him. We're His workmanship. It's not about what we can do. It's about what we can show as a result of what God has done for us and through us. Tonight, as you consider and reflect upon the week of the past, and as you look forward and think about the opportunities that you'll have in the week that begins now, and the opportunities of tomorrow, and this work week, what kind of a reflection are we of God's workmanship and what He's doing through us? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for